This is Hermie Sadler from NASCAR on Fox, and you're on the road with Dane at WGN.
720 WGN live here at Daytona International Speedway for the 61st running of the Daytona 500 with a guy who has done it all. Driver, pit reporter, correspondent, team owner, advocate, the one and only Hermie Sadler. Hermie, welcome to WGN.
Glad to be on and certainly glad to be back at Daytona. I've been coming here really since about 1975 as a kid with my parents and other friends watching the Daytona 500, and I've been coming here every year since 1992 in some work capacity, whether it be racing or radio, TV, or combination of the above. So I always look forward to it, never take it for granted, and really enjoy Speed Weeks down here in Daytona.
When it comes to stock car racing and NASCAR, it is the signature event. But as a guy who's been here since 75, been a part of it as a professional since the 90s, right? What a difference a day makes. I mean, there's nothing that compares to like when the sun is shining on a Daytona 500 weekend.
Well, if you're a stock car racing fan, I mean, this is a wonderful time of year. Not only the mecca of stock car racing here at Daytona, but this is the time of year where everybody's, you know, most everybody has new teams, new people they're working with, new sponsors, new colors, great outlook. Everybody's going to win the Daytona 500, and everybody's going to win the championship. And then it takes a couple of weeks for reality to set in for a lot of people. But what an exciting time. And we got the truck race, the Xfinity race, the Daytona 500, and all three of those races. Whoever wins, it'll be a career-changing moment for all three of those drivers, so that's always fun to be a part of.
You've done about, I don't know, five careers, right? Whether it's on the car racing side, the driver side, the team owner side, the broadcasting side, and all of that kind of stuff. As you do your work at Fox as part of that great Fox NASCAR team, how important is it to have the perspectives of all of those things, being a team owner, a driver, the broadcasting side, a fan, all of that?
Yeah, we've got a very diverse group of broadcasters, analysts, and people that work behind the scenes at Fox. We've got everything, you know, pretty well covered. And although I don't think it's mandatory that you have experience in a lot of different places, I certainly think it helps, you know, and that's one another reason why I was excited. I only ran one race last year at Martinsville. It gave me an opportunity in that cup race to really get a refresher on what the cars are doing with today's rules packages and how they drive and why things may be happening a certain way or whatever the case may be on the track. So I didn't have the career that I wanted. I didn't win as many races as I wanted, but some of those ups and downs and things I learned has certainly helped me be better, I believe, at letting the people at home know why things are happening and how it can affect, you know, whether or not a driver or a team can win a race.
Well, I haven't been covering it as long as you have, but I still remember Dave Marcus and the wingtips and all that kind of stuff. So when you get out here and you get a chance to race the cars as they've changed over the years all the time, what is the biggest difference between a car that maybe you drove in the early 90s and then the cars that are out there today?
Well, you know, you can call it good or you can call it bad, but, you know, there's been such a bigger push to try to make the competition closer. And to do that, they've tried to put the teams, by the way, you know, these are real small people to build these cars. They try to put them in a smaller and smaller box to try to keep the competition closer. And that's caused people in a lot of ways to try to work harder to work in a gray area of those boxes. So the cars now are much more technologically advanced than they were, you know, back in my heyday. The driver had much more input on what you could change to make the car drive better or feel better. And it's almost like now the cars are set up to get maximum speed, and you only have a couple little things you can do as far as adjustment-wise to make them drive a little bit better. And if you do too much, you have a chance to lose some of that speed. So in a lot of ways, it's almost like the driver has to adapt and learn how to drive the car as it is, because they've learned through technology, wind tunnels, all these other things that, you know, what setup should give it the maximum amount of speed. And so the driver has to figure out how to drive it like that.
Well, on the parity side, they've done a great job. I mean, we have seen, and I think everybody's agreed, we've seen some of the most exciting races ever and lead up to the championship the last few years. So that part has worked. On the promotional side, and you've always been a great advocate for racing, for NASCAR, a great salesman of the sport as well. When we have listeners call in, you know, they say like, oh, something needs to happen on the promotion side, something needs to happen. And some of them have suggested maybe taken over, but maybe merging with WWE or professional wrestling in some way because of the great promotional job that they do with their product. As a guy who's worked in and around both. Is there some other way that you can build in some of the, I don't know, maybe the excitement level? I think on the track it's done, but maybe for the fans on the experience side.
No, I just really think not all, but most of the problem has been the newer generation of fan doesn't have connections with the drivers that the old school people had. You know, when I used to come in the mid-70s, Cale Yarborough was my guy. You know, and I followed Cale, you know, all through the years. The drivers had bigger-than-life personalities. They weren't afraid to be politically incorrect, you might say, or say what they mean.
Or outspoken in any way, right?
Yeah, they were you know, they had a free will to speak like they wanted. Now, as more sponsors came in, drivers had to be more careful about the image and all those other things that came along with it. So I would agree with you, and I'm glad to hear you say that, because a lot of people won't admit that. But the competition on the track has been solid. You know, I mean, the races are closer than they've ever been. Competition's closer. It's much more difficult, you know, to dominate, although we had the big three, you know, last year. I mean, but I think that the fact of the matter is people's TVs at home are a lot better, you know, and you can watch a big screen TV with surround sound and go get your beer at your refrigerator. And so it takes a different type of promotion and a lot more things going on at the track to get people to come out.
When it comes to the competition on track, when you can get an entire NASCAR season, one of the longest in professional sports, come down to between four people, the last lap, both, I mean, it's mission accomplished on that side as far as the excitement side of it. When you say it's great at home, yes, the TV people, and you're part of that problem, Hermie, because Fox has done an incredible job creating really an exciting product to watch. Part of what the listeners are hearing here, and a lot of noise and the sound, they can't get the smells and all that, but there's no substitute for experiencing racing, specifically NASCAR, live and in person. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I equate it a lot to golf. If you love golf, you understand the intricacies of the sport and how difficult it is to play certain shots and reading the greens and the wind and all that. If you're not a fan of golf, you just say, well, it's just people chasing a ball around a cow pasture, you know. But if you're there and understand it, it's much different, much more fun to watch. Same way with racing. You know, if you're really into the sport, there's nothing that beats sitting up in the stands and watching 40 stock cars come get the green flag for the Daytona 500, the smell and the sight and the sound of all those things go into it. But my kids, too. My kids are not into racing, even though my brother and
I... How is that possible?
They just have other interests. You know, they're cheering, they're playing ball, they have, you know, their friends. They're just not, you know, they don't come beg me to put them in the car and take them to the races like I did with my mom and dad when I was a kid, young teenager, whatever. So, but I think sometimes we try too hard to fix problems and we're working in the wrong areas. I mean, it's just... This new generation is just, it's hard to get their attention, hard to keep their attention for more than a couple hours on something. And do I have all the answers? No. But if you base it simply on entertainment and competition, NASCAR certainly has got that right. We've just got to try to find a way to connect better with the younger generation of fans that we're trying to get out here.
Just as racing has changed so much, let's say, in the last decade, last 10 years or so, is the awareness when it comes to autism. And you and your brother have a foundation, your daughter Haley, and you have raised a lot of awareness, a lot of funds, and I think made some great progress in kind of letting the public know what not only what's going on, what's out there, but what can be done.
Yeah, you know, my daughter was diagnosed back in 2001, and the stats at that time said, as far as kids and young adults being diagnosed, it was one in every 500. Fast forward to 2019, it's like one in every 80 kids are diagnosed with some form of autism or on the autism spectrum. So it's much more mainstream now. Doctors are quicker now to diagnose it because they know more about it. And, you know, Haley will be 21 in July now, and so she's a young adult. And so that's the next phase of things that we look for, that we're looking to, is when these kids get older and graduate from high school, or whatever education level they're able to get to, we want to try to find ways to give them as normal as possible roles in society, let them be contributors to society. So like for now, for instance, Haley now works at our restaurant, Faux Show, every day. She's got a list of chores that she does. And we work with a program there in Emporia where we employ about 6 or 8 special needs young adults now that work in our variety of businesses that show up every day. They love to work and they do a great job.
it's all about kind of taking the mystery out of it, right? Educating not only the people that have to, whether it's the physicians that are diagnosing, but the parents that are recognizing, whether it's people out in society that may not be affected, on how they can either support, participate, and contribute to what is a better outcome. When it comes to Emporia and Faux Show, I do a lot of the food stuff for WGN Radio and restaurant radio all around the country and things like that. Talk about the restauranting side. Like, what are you doing with the restaurant? What can people see when they go there?
Yeah, we're located right off exit 11B off Interstate I-95 in Emporia. Me and my brother built a little strip center there, and we got a Five Guys Burgers and Fries in there. We got a UPS store that my wife runs, and we had a Starbucks. We had a 10-year lease with Starbucks, and they stayed for a year and decided they didn't want to be in Emporia anymore, so I had an empty space. So instead of trying to put another chain or a bigger brand in there, we put a little sports bar in there, named it Faux Show. We've been there about 9 years now, and a neat little spot if you're traveling through and around Emporia. We have a full bar, a tremendous variety of food, from fresh Italian dishes to steaks and chicken and everything in between, and a full bar, and we do entertainment a couple nights a week as well. So if you're traveling up and down 95 around Emporia, stop in and check us out.
Any opportunity to maybe occasionally see a Hermie Sadler behind the bar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why I rarely go there, because when I go there, my wife puts me to work. But no, me and my family eat there most every night. Elliot and his family come in just about every night after ball practice or whatever, and we put a big table together, and that's kind of our meeting joint, you know, after everybody gets done with their day. Pretty much 4 or 5 nights a week there at Faux Show. So it's a good family thing for us, good chance for all of us to get together, and good food too.
We love what you do. Of course, a lot of the fans support and appreciate and love your family just as you guys love and support the world of racing. And Hermie, thanks so much for jumping on the show today.
Appreciate you having me. Thank you.